The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
As we count down to the first presidential debate on Thursday night, bears repeating, none of this is normal. We have never seen a presidential debate as early in the election cycle as this one. One of the candidates is a convicted felon. And that candidate, so busy trying to reset expectations, he's accusing the current president of the United States of using performance-enhancing drugs.
All Joe Biden has to do is show scrappy Joe Biden from Scranton. He doesn't respect Trump. He knows Trump lies all the time. He needs to say, shut up, man, and stop your yapping and do all of those things to put Trump in his place and stand up to him. This is about Biden showing strength, not so much what he says.
The fact of the matter is that the sky is blue sometimes, and Donald Trump is a convicted felon. And the American people have to sit in that for a second. The person who wants to be president has to go sit with his probation officer before he actually goes to the debate. And so it is just a fact. But it's not just to call Donald Trump a convicted felon. It goes to his behavior and it goes to his character. Remember, he's actually filed bankruptcy six times. That means that he's not just a bad business guy. It means he screwed all the small people who actually relied on him for a living. And so the American people are going to see that.
I mean, it's such, you know, such pathetic efforts here to spin these unfounded conspiracy theories about drug tests or the like. And then, of course, also by doing so, you're trying to set up an escape hatch for your own candidate who has real concerns. Donald Trump is only a few years younger than Joe Biden. Donald Trump has also not done any debates this whole primary season. He's going to be rusty. Usually that's just a problem for an incumbent.
Yeah, CNN cuts your mic for saying Google Jake Tapper. CNN just slapped a gag order on the Trump campaign days before the debate. We knew Trump's mic would be muted during the debate, but we didn't know his campaign's mic would be muted before it. NBC News says his team's been meticulously studying Trump in an effort to best identify what might get under his skin. Biden's goal Thursday is to make Trump snap. He'll be fighting dirty. Every shot will be below the belt. You're a twice impeached, bigoted, bankrupted, convicted felon.
Donald Trump goes into the lion's den this Thursday evening. There's your commentary from the left and the right regarding the strategy for the fake president. Get under Trump's skin. Go after him personally, as Jesse notes there at the end of that cold open. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live stream of this broadcast at trumpetdaily.com or at our Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Don't forget also about Celtic Throne tonight in Irvine, Texas. Sorry, California, not Texas. In California, Southern California. That's at CelticThrone.com. You can get all the information you need for the show there in SoCal and a follow-up tomorrow in the same theater. So that's at CelticThrone.com. So the debate's coming up. I think the Telegraph has it right. Joe Biden hides at Camp David to practice for the Donald Trump debate. I think they went and changed that headline later. But they got it right the first time. He's hiding for a week. An entire week at Camp David to prepare. And this article says here, Joe Biden's aides have scheduled in plenty of breaks while the U.S. president prepares for Thursday's debate to ensure he's in shape to face Donald Trump. So plenty of rest for Joe Biden. I mean, it's hard to believe this is even happening. And the Telegraph just casually writes about it as if this is completely normal. Says here, the Democrat leader's aides are keen to ensure Mr. Biden has a generous amount of downtime ahead of the high-stakes event in what has been described as a prep and rest routine. So he's being prepped and he's getting plenty of rest. Now, some would say on the other side, Donald Trump's not prepping much at all, and he's not known to get a lot of rest either, but he's out on the campaign trail. He's out preaching his message. He's not too worried about heading into the lion's den. And let's remember here, let's remember that Jake Tapper being the moderator, I mean, that tells you all that you need to know about this debate being rigged against Donald Trump. This is from 2018, clip one.
It's worth remembering that while we're sticking to the facts and telling you just what we know, President Trump apparently has no such constraints since he simply makes stuff up. He frequently lies and has a long and well-documented career engaging in conspiracy theories about all manner of subjects with no concrete evidence ever provided.
Says the guy who was so giddy in 2017 to report on the Steele dossier. Yes, yes, indeed. We remember, Jake, we remember how you were spewing lies, propaganda, in order to go after, in this document, by the way, it was certain, we now know that Paul Ryan had a copy, John McCain, all of them, the deep state had it, and they were just waiting for the hook that they needed so that CNN could treat this as a legitimate story, which it wasn't from the very beginning. It was a total lie, but they were so excited to tell all of this gossip, this innuendo about Donald Trump. The Russia collusion hoax. CNN's responsible for starting that. Or at least they're one of those responsible. Play this from, this again is 2017, clip 11.
CNN has learned that the nation's top intelligence officials provided information to President-elect Donald Trump and to President Barack Obama last week about claims of Russian efforts to compromise President-elect Trump. The information was provided as part of last week's classified intelligence briefings regarding Russian efforts to undermine the U.S. elections.
This is CNN. There's Jake Tapper, again, chief propagandist over at that network. This is what you're going to get. That's the mindset that you're going to get going into the debate Thursday night. The next day, by the way, after that report, BuzzFeed, they decided to print the entire Steele dossier with all of the crazy, crazy gossip and innuendo. And Jake Tapper was upset by that, because they wanted to be able to carefully select what got reported on. BuzzFeed comes out the next day with the entire document, and Jake Tapper sends them a nasty email saying, hey, you're making us look like a tabloid. Well, that's what you are. That's the truth, and you can see why. People are leaving. I said yesterday, I mean, Trump's giving them a huge favor, CNN, because their ratings are terrible. Same with the Washington Post. I thought there was a pretty good analysis, by the way, of this is over at MSNBC as well. People just leaving in droves because they don't believe what these propagandists say. And they're just going straight to Donald Trump. They're going straight to one of his rallies. Or they're going to an alternative media site. This was from Joy Reid yesterday, I believe, clip 7.
If we went and saw one of these rallies in Pennsylvania, would those same people be there? Are these people who follow him from place to place? Because I did notice that in that Michigan group, there was a local reporter who actually talked to people, and none of them were locals. None of them were from Detroit. They seemed to be people who follow Trump like the Grateful Dead. Like, are these fans that go from place to place?
There are absolutely those. I can't tell you the number of them that have been to dozens of these rallies and travel around. But by and large, I would say more than 90% easily of the folks are individuals either from that town or folks that drive anywhere from 2 to 3 hours. And I think that this is the part where, you know, it was at Donald Trump's very first mega rally in the summer of 2015. I've been covering them since, is the fact that, you know, if folks are a little bit more disconnected from mainstream news sources than they were, right? They're not reading the New York Times, the Washington Post, or even their local papers. A great number of local papers have gone down over the last decade, have gone out of business. They're not watching CNN. They're not watching MSNBC or even NBC Nightly News, right? And so I think that folks they are tuning into OAN, Newsmax, Right Side Broadcasting Networks. They have outlets, Steve Bannon's War Room. They have outlets there that deliver them oftentimes a different set of facts here. And so I think that, you know, when you hear somebody, you know, you could suggest that they may be a sympathetic figure to a certain degree, because what they have taken in and consumed over the course of now years is information that is not always aligned with the reality that is actually being played out.
Hello. He's revealing that they're turning away from mainstream sources, and she's there nodding along. Yet we're losing our viewers. We're losing our readers. But we keep spewing the propaganda. People don't believe you. People know that you're lying. It doesn't matter how many times Joe Scarborough calls Trump a liar. The people know better. And so they're going direct to the source. I mean, these are the same people that gave you the dirty dossier for years. Some of them still believe it's true. And then they won't cover Trump, or at least they won't let Trump speak for himself. No, they've got to carefully control even the debate. Like Jesse said, I mean, they're cutting off mics leading into the debate. And you can be sure they'll be ready to cut off Trump's mic at the debate as well. Control, control. It's all about control. And when they lose their grip, they do start to panic. But there's a little bit of truthful reporting. They're going to OAN, they're going to Newsmax, they're going to Steve Bannon, they're going to Trump himself. But they're not going to change their ways. They'll just listen. Whatever Uncle Bozy happens this week, we'll go with it. They're just like Biden. They run with it. They run with the lies. This was KJP, the press secretary, together with the Treasury secretary, again, blaming Trump for everything. And it's been 3.5 years. Jesse pointed out there. Well, I guess I didn't play clip 9 yet. If I did, we can skip to clip 3. But if not, play this Jesse Waters clip first, clip 9.
Because Biden's going to make the debate all about Trump, because Joe doesn't have a record to run on. Trump needs to make the debate all about the American people. Joe's trying to lock me up instead of the illegals raping and murdering our women and children. I never went bankrupt. Bidenomics is bankrupting our country.
Joe doesn't have a record to run on, unless you consider the record of destruction and desolation. You look at what's happening at the southern border. He's responsible for that, or the dear leader behind him. He's responsible for the runaway inflation. So what do you have to run on other than get Trump? Listen to these two as they blame Donald Trump for everything. Clip 3.
You're right. The data shows that the economy is indeed strengthening. It's stronger. And we understand that we came out of a pandemic, a once in a century pandemic. And the work that this president did, and look, talking about Donald Trump, which I just mentioned, Dobbs decision. The reason why we have chaos right now after the Dobbs decision, the reason why after Roe v. Wade was overturned after it being constitutional law for 50 years, is because of what Donald Trump did in his administration. Can you believe that we have more rights? We had more rights growing up than our kids. That's because of the Trump administration and
the signature policy from the Trump years was the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. And it promised an investment boom, which really did not materialize. And I think it's responsible for many of the problems that we face now with our fiscal trajectory.
Blame Trump. I mean, we could be 20 years beyond his presidency. They'd still be blaming him for everything that they've done. There's this story at the Federalist. I won't read a lot of it, but it's basically the Biden. They're so desperate to get some kind of positive publicity that with their infrastructure, the back-breaking spending programs that they've passed, they're trying to get signs put up where there's any construction, saying that this project is funded by President Joe Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law. And he wants taxpayers to pay for these signs, all the signage. He doesn't have a record to run on. Except this. Except we'll spend to oblivion. We'll spend trillions. Trillions of dollars that we don't have. And then we'll put up a cheesy sign that says, hey, thanks to Joe Biden, we've got this construction project going just now. They should put up a sign, by the way. All the EV stations they said they were going to build up because of billions of dollars. These seven EV stations brought to you by Joe Biden, brought to you by Bidenomics. This is from the National Interest, a great story going back to the southern border on how these Latin American countries are exploiting America's wide open border. They're using it to their advantage. I mean, not just the people who are streaming into the country. The leaders of these countries who are raking in money on this operation, says even as President Biden issues a new executive order so he can appear to be addressing the crisis on our southern border, foreign adversaries continue to exploit that same crisis for their benefit. It says if Biden wants to get serious about securing the border, he must step up his game against the Western Hemisphere's axis of anti-Americanism, Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. It says these dictatorial regimes are manipulating the flood of illegal immigration to sow discord among American voters. Nicaraguan strongman Daniel Ortega and his fellow dictators are turning a profit while worsening the U.S. border crisis by flying in thousands of migrants on their way to cross the U.S. border illegally. So they're bringing them into their countries so that they can then go to Mexico and flood into the United States. The joint venture to support this surge begins at Managua's International Airport in western Nicaragua. Since 2022, Ortega and his cronies relaxed visa restrictions while simultaneously engineering a dramatic increase in international flights to Managua. Immigrants who previously would have started their dangerous trek toward northward into Ecuador, Colombia, or even Brazil can now skip the hundreds of miles of dangerous terrain and pay a coyote's fee by flying north into Managua and starting from there. So these dictatorships are just trying to help immigrants from all over the world to get into the United States so easily, exploiting this wide open border. This is another one from American Greatness. It says, with just over 4 months left before the November election, Republicans have been raising the alarm about illegal aliens being given voter registration forms in 49 states. This is why the border's open, because the Democrats, they're exploiting the process too. They want more voters. So these people come into the United States, they sign up for welfare programs, and then they're given registration forms so that they can become an American voter. It's all part of the fundamental transformation, isn't it? It's all part of the attack on the United States of America. If you don't have this book, make sure you call our operators. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. It says here, according to the New York Post, welfare offices and various state agencies have been providing voter registration forms to illegals without asking about their citizenship status. They don't even ask it. They don't care. They just say, here you go. Register to be a voter. Now, you can't legally vote. You can't legally vote if you're not a citizen of the United States. But that doesn't stop people from voting, as we saw in 2020. That doesn't stop ballots from being harvested. Happens all the time. And you could see why. To Democrats, they want no voter ID, period. Because this is how they harvest. This is how they create ballots. In California, voters with no government ID can still vote so long as they show a gym membership. Can you believe this? So long as they have a membership to a gym, that's all they need. Play this again, coming back to some of the commentary regarding the choice that voters have, whether it's this debate or thereafter. Again, Joe Biden has enough. He has no record, no positive record to run on. So it's all going to be about get Trump. Clip five.
I think we all accept that there is an asymmetry here in terms of the fact that we expect President Biden to actually talk about policy, to talk about his record, to talk about the things that he would want to do in a second term. We don't necessarily expect that of former President Trump. Over the weekend, I don't know if you caught this, I was able to speak with Kevin Roberts, head of the Heritage Foundation, asked him about Project 2025, basically said it was about extending Trumpism. Just to remind everyone, I know you two don't need the reminder, Project 2025, a blueprint to disassemble the administrative state, implement a Christian nationalist agenda. How does President Biden take that and pin that on Donald Trump?
Well, I think he can do it pretty simply. I mean, this campaign for Biden is all about contrast. It's competence versus chaos. It's darkness versus light. It is a felonious philanderer versus a family man. It is job creation versus saying that America sucks. I mean, this really is such a contrast. And Biden just has to keep drawing that contrast.
Is that maybe one reason why people aren't viewing MSNBC? There is a contrast. She's got it exactly backwards, however. The contrast, it's becoming very stark. And so it's attack. That's what Donald Trump's heading into. And he knows. I mean, it's not like he's utterly unprepared. He's not prepping like the fake president is, but he knows what he's going into. He knows. He knows in a lot of ways Biden doesn't even have to attack because he's got Jake Tapper to do that for him. He's got Dana Bash to do that for him. He's got the CNN producers to cut the mics. It's a demonic attack on the United States of America. And you see, I mean, you see some of the roots of it. When they were so giddy to report on the Steele dossier, and then BuzzFeed includes all of the salacious details, and that really offends Jake Tapper because he wants the exclusive rights to tell you how very serious this is, to tell you how extremely important this is. Pure propaganda. Listen to the morning meltdown as they talk about this judge in Florida. The documents case, I mean, if you're not a radical left-wing activist judge, then this is the way you're treated in the regime or within the regime media. Clip two.
Given all the nature of the classified documents and the time that's going to take to process, it really is unbelievable that just nothing is going to happen on this case until well after the election. And I know that sometimes the wheels of justice can move slowly, but you would have thought there would have been a little bit more urgency given the state of democracy and the implications that this case has.
Well, I mean, and Willie,
look at the guests. Seven people, and they all think exactly the same. They think exactly alike. We should line up 6-7. Mika's not even there. Where's Mika? You have space and time for these six others? Put Mika on there as well. Why not 8? Let's go for 9, maybe 10. It reminds me of the bylines in some of those New York Times pieces where there's like 5, 6, 7, 8, a team of get Trumpers that puts together the propaganda for the day. That's the way it works at these networks as well. But you see the contempt they have for Judge Cannon. Because, and then the one woman, she said the quiet part out loud. I can't believe this is not going to happen before the election. We've got to put him in jail. We've got to put him behind bars. And so they're furious. They're furious at Judge Cannon. And they go after, they talk about rule of law. They talk about saving democracy, even as they trash the judges they don't agree with. The judges who aren't left-wing activists. Listen to the attacks as they continue the attacks against the Supreme Court. Clip six.
Do you have confidence in the Supreme Court? I mean, they've yet to rule on this immunity thing, all this thing about Alito and the flags and Clarence Thomas and his wife. I mean, do you have confidence in the Supreme Court?
No, I think they've gone rogue. It's most unfortunate.
There's the former House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi. She doesn't have confidence in the Supreme Court. Neither does Anderson Cooper, because they can't control it. They lose control. And then they say, yeah, the court has gone rogue. It's a rogue court. This is from The Telegraph, just to shift gears here before we finish off this segment. This is interesting just because of all the years, the headlines. Again, if you don't subscribe to The Trumpet, call our operators and request a free one-year subscription. There's no cost, no obligation. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. Why it's too late to stop World War III? I mean, this sounds kind of extremist. This sounds like something you might read at the Trumpet 10, 15, 20 years. Look at how people are just casually talking about World War III. Now, they never get into Europe like they should. So that's an angle that you're going to get at the Trumpet. thetrumpet.com or on, the Trumpet Hour Friday afternoon. But still, people are looking at this world saying, I think it's off the rails. I think an explosion is coming. They're right. They just don't have the details. Not like we do. It says here, imagine for a moment that the Iranian government announces it has developed a nuclear bomb and threatens to use it on Israel. The United States reacts with the threat of military intervention, as it did in 1991 and 2003 in Iraq. Iran signals that it will not. So they go through this scenario. What? Imagine if only people would actually look into Bible prophecy and see what it has to say. Then you don't have to imagine much. You know, I mean, the framework is there. Tells you everything that you need to know. We don't have every single detail. Don't know the day or the hour, as Jesus said. But you can certainly know when it's near, when it's at the doors, as Jesus Christ said. You can know by just looking at the times, the seasons. U.S. and Britain in prophecy, that's another one that goes hand in hand with America under attack. Make sure if you don't have this book, this gives you the whole framework, as I say, a textbook, really, on Bible prophecy. Then you can go and read about what your Bible has to say regarding World War III. When we come back, we're going to conclude today's show with, I believe this is the most recent program that my father gave, and the reason I felt like I just wanted to play it in its entirety is because of how much time we spend on this show talking about deception and lies, just like we covered in this first segment. And as my father explains, in Deceitful Bible Scholars, there's a lot of deceit. Even in the world of religion, there certainly is with respect to the mainstream media. People are leaving in droves. The Washington Post is failing. Nobody's reading. It's because there's so much in the way of lies and deception. So when we come back from a short break, we'll finish today's show with our Bible study segment, and my father will be giving that. It's titled Deceitful Bible Scholars. You can also get to this at our website, thetrumpet.com. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
What is the greatest warning that Christ prophesied for Christians in this world? What is the greatest warning and what is the greatest deceit that these Christians will receive? And yet, most Christians still ignore this prophecy. And we need to really understand what Christ prophesied. Satan has more dangerous deceit for us than we can imagine. And God says, okay, there is a way to overcome that and change those curses to blessings. That's what God is talking about here. Let's take a look at Matthew 24, verses 3 through 5. Verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" That end of the world should read end of this age. The world is not going to end ever. Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Take heed that no man deceive you. This was the first point he brings about answering their question. Verse 5 says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." That means many millions. They have in the past even had conferences to get together and figure out, well, let's see, what should we do? Should we focus on the person of Christ or the message of Christ? And of course, they chose the person. Just look it to the person, and they have not looked upon the message. And that is the big problem. That is the big deceit. And Christ talked about that and how much suffering that would bring upon this world. It is something to contemplate because it needs to be understood. So in spite of these curses, they still don't turn away from them like they should. This is a warning to all of us because all of us can be deceived. We're all sinners, and we have to learn to receive God's truth, understand it, and never let it go. So let's take a look at the solution to this big problem. Paul, in Colossians 2, talked about enticing words. He said, now you have to be careful about enticing words or persuasive words or beguiling words that would divert you. That's the word means divert from, it diverts you from the truth. You better be careful about those enticing words. Now there's a way to deal with that, And God expects us to know how to do it because it's right there in the Bible and it's easy for us to understand if we will really study into it. So I want to talk to you about deceitful Bible scholars, and the Bible talks about many of them throughout the ages. In Colossians 2 and verse 4, where it talks about these words, Paul used the expression, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Now be careful about those beguiling words, those enticing words and being beguiled by them. Be careful about that. Now, Paul was warning them, and he says, when he was talking about those enticing words, he even talked about later being absent. And the reason he was absent is because he was in prison for speaking to you what I'm speaking about today. They put him in prison. It has been rough for true Christians in this world throughout the ages. Colossians 2 and verses 6 and 7. "As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith." Get yourself rooted and really built up in Him, that is Christ, and established in His faith. In the faith that has been given to us, if we will choose that faith. And he goes on to say, "As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving," just abound with thanksgiving. But he tells you now, look, here's how you solve this deceit. You have to get rooted, really rooted, and have roots in this truth of God, where Satan can never take it away from you. And he will be trying to do it all the time. We have to be rooted in Christ. If you think about just a strong tree that has deep roots, it's almost impossible for a storm to blow it over, because it has such roots down into the earth. And God says, now that's the way I want you to be spiritually. Not going always around looking for new truth, but building your life on the foundational truths of Christ and His message. Focus on His message and what He says we must do all the time. And the curses that we can avoid if we'll just heed what He says. Verse 8 says this, "Vain philosophy is after the rudiments of the world." This is Colossians 2. Paul is talking to them about the rudiments of this world. What does that mean? If you read the New Testament, today's English version, it translates that expression as ruling spirits of the universe. Here, Paul is telling them, now look, many of you are being deceived by the rudiments of this world, and that means the ruling spirits of the universe. That's what God is talking about. The ruling spirits of the universe. There is a devil. And he does have millions of demons under his rule. And God says, you have no chance against them if you don't look to God Himself. How can we possibly win such a battle when we usually don't even understand it? Thayer's lexicon defines after the rudiments of the world to invade of evils coming into existence among men and beginning to exert their powers, real powers. Let's look at verse 18. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." See, these are the Laodiceans that were active in Paul's time, but now there are those same Laodiceans in this end time. The same problem. And this first century
was only a type of what's to come in this end time and has come already in many ways and continues to be a big problem. So many of God's own people, you see, have been under a demon attack, and many of them who had the truth of God even, and even they lost it when many others have never really had that truth. So what are we to do? What is the problem? Verse 8 says, it's a demon attack through philosophy and vain deceit. Well, philosophy, there are philosophers in Christianity and other religions. And God says now it's philosophy and vain deceit can certainly deceive God's own people. Philosophy, the people who are really impressive with their minds and can beguile people and take away precious truth from them. And we're not aware of that in so many cases. And it's actually a demon attack. How serious is that? Paul was telling them, well, look, you'd better realize what has happened to you. These people had the truth and they were losing it all. And that's what happened to most of them in the first century. A demon attack, where it says intruding in verse 18 means to invade, make a hostile incursion into, according to Thayer's lexicon. And it also says, let no man beguile you as he is intruding into those things which he has not seen. Most of the text omit not. In other words, he actually had seen this. He had seen God's truth. He had God's truth, and then he turned away from God by deceitful philosophy in religion, in Christianity. That's no small problem. A lot of vanity in it, vain deceit, but it's all about deceit. There are spiritual philosophies that are really deceitful, not really true spiritual messages, but they're deceitful, and they are blotted out from God's Holy of Holies. We should be getting through to God's Holy of Holies every single day and get on our knees and pray to God with certainly a certain good measure of time. We need to get through to God to be able to deal with any attack from these demons and Satan the devil himself. So this man is intruding into those things which he has seen. There are people in religion and Christianity that will lie, that will lie to you. Satan is a liar. And he's always been a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Do we really believe what John says about that subject? We are told to prove all things. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. It also talks about a son of perdition who just is out to destroy God's people. And that is no small problem when he is inside God's own church. And that happened in this end time. Satan is real, and we're going to have to get ready to rule with Christ and know how to overcome Satan. We have to overcome him. Colossians 2 and verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Now, You see, these were people with the truth of God, and Jesus Christ was the head of their church. And that's the way it is with God's true church. Christ is the head, not a man. Christ is the head. Jesus Christ is the head of His own true church. And that's a little flock, he says. Many, many people, most people, just don't want to be a part of that. And they turn against God. And they put prophets like Paul into jail and then finally killed him because he was teaching to them what I'm teaching today. Well, that is the reality of true Christianity in this world. And it's not an easy task to undertake always, but it brings into your life the most rich blessings you could possibly even imagine. Wonderful vision and hope and love and joy if we will just obey God. And then he goes on in verse 23 and talks about the wisdom of will worship. That was a big problem. Now let me turn to Malachi 2 and verse 12. I'll just paraphrase what is there. He condemns the Laodiceans, in this case as well, of having a scholar in the tabernacle who was deceiving them, causing them all kinds of problems. Like this, here was one of them that I happened to know about years ago. I'll not give you his name, but this was from the Worldwide Church of God's Pastor General's report on December 31st, 1991. This man helped mightily to turn God's people away from God. I experienced that. He says this was his deceit. The Worldwide Church of God has made a clear distinction between issues that are strictly biblical and issues that are essentially theological and philosophical. Oh, he's into philosophy. And he says, we make distinction between the biblical issues and the essentially theological or philosophical issues. The former are easily accessible through the Bible in any translation, while the latter require special training or expertise. And when you get into theology or philosophy issues, you need special training or expertise. In other words, he's saying that you have to look to those philosophers to understand the Bible. That's what it's talking about. And people listened to that and they believed it. And it was so beguiling and so diabolical. And they just let it get away from them. Let the truth be taken away from 95% of that church. They looked to their scholars. Well, and the laymen, they were just too incompetent to be able to get all of the Bible. Now, that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible says you'd better learn yourself and really get rooted in Jesus Christ and make sure that none of these guys will deceive you. They're always around. Satan has a lot of them, and he uses them. So we have to be very, very careful. In Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. The mystery of Christ, well, that caused Paul to be put in jail. And I can give you a book today that will explain that mystery like no other book in this world. I want to read some to you about Mystery of the Ages, that book, because this book, if you will read it and study it, even if you already have it, I would strongly recommend that you go back and read and study it and digest that message because it's the second most important book on this earth, because it explains what the Bible is all about. It explains the gist of what the message is all about. And if we get rooted in that, we're going to know when a deceiver comes along. We're going to know. Now, Mr. Armstrong believed it was the second most important book on this earth, and I certainly agree with that. And I'll give you a little more information here. On September 12, 1985, here's what he said to his people and the co-workers. "Since last December, I have been working diligently on the largest and most important book of my life. In real fact, I feel I myself did not write it. Rather, I believe God used me in writing it. I candidly feel it may be the most important book since the Bible." Why is that? Well, he explains why this is true, and you can prove it. You don't have to guess about it. You don't have to be confused about it. "We want to reach the largest audience possible with this book. I know you will feel the same when you read it." I know when you read it, you'll understand that. "This new book, Mystery of the Ages, unveils all these mysteries. It puts the many different parts of the jigsaw puzzle together. It is, in fact, a synopsis of the entire Bible," or it gives you the whole theme or the whole gist of what the Bible is about and explains it. And it is a depth given by God to a man. And he gives God all the credit and takes no credit. It was just poured into his mind, he says. "It is my prayer that you will read it along with your Bible, that it will make your Bible come alive and understandable. And with God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you, I feel sure that it will. I am now in my 94th year, and I feel that this book is the most valuable gift I could possibly give you." The most valuable gift he could even give us, ever. And it's a book that will help you get to know God, understand God, and be in a state where you can't be deceived. You can have that kind of roots in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he was there fighting for his life before the crucifixion, he prayed three different times for an hour and one hour and then another one and then another one. And he in that prayer, one of those prayers, he sweat blood to keep from sinning. He sweat blood to give us a sinless sacrifice, or otherwise we couldn't receive God's Holy Spirit. He had to pay for our sins. He was a creator used by the Father, and he created all of us, and he could pay for the sins of all of us who have ever been on this earth. This, he says, is the most important and significant work ever. That's what he said. We need to understand something like this. Mr. Armstrong suggested it to be read and studied a second and a third time. Let me just continue a little of this from Mr. Armstrong. He said, "This is a pretty big day in my life when I can hand this book out to each of you." That was a sophomore class at Ambassador College. It was talking about Mystery of the Ages. I'll just go and finish with one more verse here. Colossians 3 and verse 4. This is where this will lead you and give you a solution to all these deceitful problems. And I mean every single one of them. It will take them away in your life as you grow. And God will give you His Holy Spirit where you can conquer Satan the devil. But notice what he says in Colossians 3 and verse 4. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." Until next week, this is Gerald Flory. Goodbye, friends.